Well, today's message is a secret. And it's a secret from the foundation of the world. And I wanted to turn to Romans chapter 16. And then we want to go through the scriptures to see how this secret, how it started, what is it, and how does it end? Because this secret, God was thinking of you right from the beginning. It's been all about the Lord Jesus Christ, but that secret involves you and what God had planned from the beginning. I want to read Romans 16, verse 24. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This was what was on the heart of the Spirit of God, is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations, for by the obedience of faith to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Let's just bring this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we again step before thee and knowing that you are a holy and righteous God, and that, Lord, that you desire us to come, and we come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your Holy Spirit would intercede and take the words that we say and do, that it may bring you all the glory. But we ask for thy blessing so that we may share it with others. And so, Lord, have your way here this morning as we go through your word. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, today, sometimes the way people live, and sometimes within my own life, we live sometimes as Christians, and it's a secret. Because we're scared what people are going to say. You know, if we tell them, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, boy, you're one of those religious people again, you know. And we're afraid. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He wasn't ashamed. And yet there are times in my own life, I look back and over my history of 64 years, there's been times of shame in my life. Ashamed to stand up, ashamed to boldly declare who Jesus is. And yet knowing that he would come down from heaven and as God, and teach that his death was going to bring it as Lord, and that as a king he stepped off of his throne, and that as a savior he interceded at the cross for you and me and for this world, is that it was a secret. It was a mystery. And I don't know how many people have ever read a novel or it's a mystery novel. It's got secrets all through it. And you kind of start reading off into the first few pages and you're reading and reading, reading. Oh, okay. Wonder how that ends. And so you go to the back and you read the last five pages. Oh, that's how it happens. Yeah, but you don't know how it got there. You know the end. Or you know the beginning and you know the end, but you don't know how it got from there to there. Because it's a secret. You got to read the book. And the Bible is exactly the same way. That if you want to know more about Jesus, you're going to have to read from Genesis to Revelation to know him. To know him in doctrine and theology and creation and Israel and the church and the family. And to know him in the gospel and prophecy and missions and evangelism. And I wanted to show you a passage this morning that is the most exciting passage that I know that most people have never read in the Bible. That when they get there, they're flipping pages. I want to turn you to 1 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning with verses 1 to 3. Many people have read over have read and never even looked at the mystery that is a secret from the foundation of the world. And here we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the most exciting verses, as I believe they are, it says, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahal Eliel, Jared, hey, that's for you, son, and Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. It wasn't that exciting? And people are thinking, let's go a few pages away from that, you know. Because it just keeps going, and Shem, and it goes, and it just goes on and on and on. And I know that with my son, Josh. Whenever he'd say, "Dad, there's a cow," and I didn't acknowledge it, he'd say, "Dad, there's a cow," and I didn't acknowledge it. "Dad, there's a cow," until I said, "Yes, that's a cow," he would go on and on. And it, "Dad, there's a train." And okay, yes, there's, and I started learning, I better acknowledge it quick, because this is going to go on and on and on. Well, this is what this does. It just goes on and on and on, and you think, this is not exciting. But when you look at these names, these 10 names that I just read from Adam to Noah, it's the gospel. If you look up each of their names, they're Adam meaning red man, and Seth meaning appointed, and Enos meaning mortal, and you get down to Noah meaning comfort. It's the first gospel message that was a secret and a mystery. When it says the red man appointed mortal unto sorrow, but the blessed God comes down teaching his death will bring it to the despairing comfort. It's the very first gospel message in the Word of God. Is that it was all about a son of man and a cross, as we find in the Hebrew word barashit. In the beginning, bar is son, ish is man, and ta is the mark, the cross. It was a gospel message that many people have missed. See, if you don't get excited about 1 Chronicles 1:1, you're never going to get excited about doctrine. Never get excited about theology. Never wanting to really get deep into the things of knowing your Creator. If you're not excited about this, you're not going to want to know about missions and evangelism and how Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, which is a trustworthy statement, 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's a secret. And you find it in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 32, those 10 names. And God had a mystery, a secret. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it says that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may keep all the words of the law. Jesus has given laws. This is a law, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a law. That if you know him as Lord and Savior, just as we were singing as you introduced this, George, it's a law. To lift each other up, to pray for one another, encourage one another. But if you don't know the mystery, if you don't know the secret, then why should I pray for you, George? But when I know Jesus, I now want to know why I should pray for George. It's no longer a secret, it's revealed that we build each other up, think more highly of others than ourselves, so that we may do the things of Jesus Christ. That's why when Paul says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, it's so that you would know the Lord Jesus in your prayers, in your readings, in your givings, in your helpings, and that you just love the Lord and you just want to help others, you know, that as we fellowship, as we join. But then as we join together, we see those that are without the Lord Jesus. And if we believe this book, we know that what's going to happen is that many are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you really love Jesus, I can't save anybody, but Lord, what would you have me do? I think our prayers would change. Our giving would change. The way we help one another would change, because we'd want to help other people, because we'd be serious about our faith. And I'm not saying this just to you. I'm saying this to me, because I know I come up short. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about what he's done. I want to know him in the scriptures. Because it says that it's the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's according to the gospel. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began. See, there was a secret in eternity past. And had Satan known this, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Had Satan known the secret, look what it says of what he would not have done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a secret. I'm not really sure what it's all about. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. That which was a secret now has been revealed. It's been revealed unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world, none of the demons, Satan is known as the prince of the air. He was the prince of Tyrus. He was the prince of Greece. He was the prince of Babylon. He was the, he's still the prince. He's a demon. He hates us. He hates this world. He's out to destroy the very things of God. But had he known the secret in eternity past, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because, see, the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all is that he wouldn't have crucified, because the grace of Jesus Christ would not be with you all had he not crucified Jesus. But now he didn't have to, before he just had to deal with Jesus on the cross. He had just had to deal with Jesus when he was in ministry, as we met him in the wilderness. He just had to meet with Jesus when he was in heaven, as he stood before in the days of Job, chapter 1 and 2. Just with Jesus. But when we ask Jesus Christ to come live in our life, he now has to deal with Jesus and you 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 and you. And he has to deal with everyone that asks Jesus into their life. And this is why he's trying to keep the secret away from you. Satan does not want you to know about the secret. He does not want you to know about Jesus Christ, that it's the preaching of this wonderful gospel. Because if I can discourage you and take away your faith, you're never going to get excited about the things of God. You never want to get excited in missions. And, you know, George, as you talked about your grandson, I could just see the enthusiasm that, you know, that you and Irene are going to have. Because he wants to go do mission work. Is that should be our desire right even here. When we go to work, this is a mission field. We might not always be able to share it, but let's live it by the grace of God, by the power of God, through the Spirit of God, that people would see Jesus in us. They wouldn't just see us. They would see the one that we've asked to be our Lord and Savior. Imagine that. But he says, look at verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Nobody's been to heaven except the Lord Jesus. And people say, well, yeah, but I heard about this little boy that went to heaven, and a man that spent 90 minutes in heaven. And the Bible says that man hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard. You can't perceive what God has prepared except only within the contents of Scripture itself. And that only as Jesus Christ ascended to the cross and ascended to the grave and ascended up from the grave and ascended up into heaven, he was the first. He is the first fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says he is the first fruit. But those who put their trust will go to heaven and spend eternity with him. But there was nobody there before. And yet Paul says that nobody knows what it's going to be like until you're actually there and you're staying there. David was said, and David says, no one has ascended. That's Acts chapter 2. No one's gone to before. But only those who have put their trust in Jesus will go. But once you go, you're not coming back until he comes back. And you'll be riding a horse. I think these are such exciting scriptures that I wanted to go back and just go back through the scriptures. I know you've heard me say this before, but in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, about a son, a man on a cross, bought a sheet. God created the heaven and the earth. And here is where this mystery begins to unfold. And it's not that God had a mystery or a secret that he wanted to keep to himself. It's just that man has a hard time understanding, grasping the things of God. But once you allow him to have everything of you, not to hold anything back, as you begin reading, it starts to unfold so that you're going to fall in love with the one who loves you. In Genesis chapter 5, it says that in verse 1, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them." Woman was referred to as man. And yet also referred to as a woman, but he made them male and female, made, and he called them Adam, and her name became Eve, woman. But they were man, and that he wanted man to take care of this world, both male and female. And so he gives them a gospel message in Genesis 5 about this red man who is appointed mortal. Why? Because of sin. In Genesis 3, sin had come into the world, had come into the garden, come into a place of perfection. And sin will always tear you down. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, that a little leaven, meaning a little sin, will destroy this whole lump. It'll destroy you every time. A little sin. It may go for a while and while, but eventually it will consume you. You know, you can say something and people say, I think that's what he said. And then it becomes something else. And it destroys the individual. It destroys the relationships. It destroys the family. But God had a plan that in spite of man's sin, he was going to send a Savior into this world. It would be his Son from the beginning. In Judges chapter 13, there's a story of a man named Manoah. Doesn't mention the wife, it just mentions him. They would be the parents of Samson. He was going to be, Samson. And he was going to be a Nazirite from the birth. But one day, a man showed up in their lives and started telling the woman what kind of things that were going to happen to them, and that they were going to have a son, and that this son was going to be a special son. And she went home and she told her husband, she said, a man told me. And it says in verse 8, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, let the man of God which did send come unto me or unto us and teach us what we shall do with that child that shall be born. I think that's a good indicator for any parent. You know, what shall we do? You know, as grandparents, what shall we do? You know, unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again into the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man has appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man. And said unto him, Art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, do you hear what he says? I am. It is the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. It's always been about Jesus. If you don't see Jesus in the Old Testament, you want to close that book and say, Lord, show me Jesus in this book, because it is so exciting. Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord. Now notice here, they saw him as a man. He refers to them as I am. And it says, and the angel of the Lord. The word angel in Hebrew is malak, prophet, priest, messenger, king. It's the Lord Jesus. Said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. He's going to do a sacrifice. And he's going to offer it to God. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord, the prophet, priest, messenger, king. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou this after my name, seeing it is a secret? A secret. Oh, it should just start. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what they're going to do. And we start inquiring as to what's happening and what does happen. Well, you got to keep reading the rest of the chapter to find out what happened to their son and the great victories that God would bring. But that the one that stood before them was the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said in Luke 24:44-45, these are the words I spoke unto you, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And then he opened up their mind to understand the scriptures. because it's a mystery, it's a secret. But as it goes on, it starts to reveal itself. It's no longer a mystery. Ah, yes, I now know what it's talking about. And if I don't know what it's talking about, I have something that's so great, is that when I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, he gives me the Holy Spirit to help me either understand or to come to my elders and my pastors and to search it out so that we may be understanding. Because Jesus said that he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. It's a wonderful secret. You know, Job knew that secret. In Job chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when his light,'" and as George reminded us about that light, the light that the Levite priests were teaching about, the light that's in the book of Revelation, Job says, when by his light I walked through darkness. It's a mystery. There's things I don't understand, and Job is wondering, like, why do I have all these sores, and why did I lose all my children, and why, you know, like, I can't take care of my wife, and he's wondering, he's walking in darkness, and he just said, "Man, I just wish that I was back where I had the light. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." A secret. Job knew the secret. Well, let me just show you what Job knew. Turn to Job 13. Job 13 and verse 16. And here, it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. And he says, "He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him." The word salvation here is the Hebrew word Yeshua, Jesus. And that reminds me too, that he shall be my Jesus. But that, John, you can't be a hypocrite and stand before him. It's either you're all in or you're just playing a game. And if you're playing the game, you're all out. You know, Arnold used to say to me, John, he'd leave a phone message for me, and he'd say, "John, would you please check in?" And then he'd hang up. And then I'd phone him up, and he said, "I'm so glad you checked in, so now we can check you out." You know? And he'd leave all kinds of calls like that for me. But he knew about his salvation, and that it was Jesus. Turn to another portion, chapter 19, verse 25. It's amazing what Job is from the beginning, what he knew. Job 19, verse 25. For he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." You know, I was talking with Ed just before the service, and, you know, we all got problems. We all got health issues. We all got family things, or we got things that are happening that are exciting. We got things that are hard. You know, as I was talking to Jack too, you know, there's things that we got life, and then at the other end, there's struggles. And life is like that. There's trials. Sometimes in the birth, sometimes, you know, at the end, sometimes in the middle of your life. Sometimes it's with your finances, sometimes it's with your job, sometimes it's with your home, sometimes it's within the marriage, sometimes it's with extended family. And then to see how God works. But Job knew that one day his Redeemer was going to stand, who's Jesus, was going to stand on this earth. He knew that. It's a secret. Most people didn't know that secret even in biblical times. It says in 1 Peter that the prophets sought it out. Even the angels were wondering all about these things. But we don't have to wonder if we read the Bible. If we study the Bible, it says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And if you're not rightly dividing it, Lord, help me rightly divide it. If you don't know, Lord, help me to understand, that it may make a difference in my life, especially for eternity. But not just for me, but for all those that come in contact with my family, friends, neighbors, people that are outside the faith. I love learning about secrets. I love here's what the Lord tells us in Isaiah chapter 48 about a secret. Isaiah 48, verse 16. He says, come ye near unto me. And he's saying, come closer. Don't be so far off. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it says that all his friends stood aloof, meaning afar off. He's saying, come near. Come and know me. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Though there is a secret, he did not speak in secret. He was revealing constantly to the nations. I mean, I love reading about Nebuchadnezzar. Go to chapter 4 of Daniel. Here's a man who writes a decree. He didn't know the secret, but all of a sudden he knows about the God because he's talking about what happened to him and how that he turned from a man into an animal and that his fingers became like claws of an eagle and he ate grass like an ox. And 7 years would pass by him and then his memory would come back and he recognized the God, the King of Heaven. And that he was in charge. It's no longer a secret when you know who's in charge. And he says, I have not spoken a secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God, that's the Father, the sovereign God, capital L, small O-R-D, Adonai, sovereign. And his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, has sent me. And you have to ask the question, who did they send? Well, look at verse 17. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The demons knew who it was. They said, what are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, thou Holy One of God? Mark chapter 1, verse 24. I am. I am. The one who was sent. The one who's been telling us. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He leadeth us in the way. We sing that song, he leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand or his right hand. He leadeth me in the way that is profitable. Not in the things of this earth, though we need them. But in the things of love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering, you know, that as we sang about that song, I think, was it 386? Is that he's talking about this relationship that we have within this humanity. It's because of Jesus Christ and him alone. I only have another 8,000 verses. And so we're going to have to speed it up. Matthew chapter 4. This is a parallel passage of two verses. One of Isaiah chapter 9, 1 and 2. And also another one found in Psalm 78, verse 2. And here's what it says. Let's read verse 14. It's the Lord Jesus. He's leaving Nazareth. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. That's Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. That people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions and the shadows of death, light is sprung up. That very light, that where the Lamb is the light, it has sprung up. The very ones that the Levite priests were singing about and ministering to. It was about the light of the world when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that walketh in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To have life and to have it with fullness of joy and abundance of love and mercy and truth is that they sat in darkness. It's a mystery. I mean, the world is a mystery. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, and the earth was in darkness. And Genesis 1, 3 says, God says, let there be light. It's that this very light has come into the world. It's a light that transforms that your very being. And it changes who you are. And no matter where you are right now, you can go deeper. Because the light gets brighter and brighter as you get closer to Jesus. I've done many funerals and at funerals where people, they feel like the light has gone out. And one man said to me, I can't believe that my father forgot me. I said, he didn't forget you. I said, but he couldn't help but remember Jesus. Because the closer you get to the light, all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The closer you get to Jesus, it's not that you forget those that you love. It's just that you know the one who loves you. And you can't help but think about what he's done. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. That as Jesus is speaking in parables, he wanted them to understand, but parables are there to teach a lesson. But look what he says as he spoke, I'll begin in verse 34. All these things Jesus spake unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Things that have been secret, I'm going to tell you about them. And they didn't like it. They didn't like first about being told about their sin. That was from the right near the beginning of the world. They didn't like the things that he was teaching about the kingdom of God, and that it seemed totally upside down, but it's actually the right side up. You know, a lot of people, I hear people say, I want to turn the world upside down for Jesus. It's already upside down. I want to turn it right side up by the grace of the Lord Jesus, by his power. Is that people would see clearly. We see dimly through the glass, that all of a sudden it's like, there it is. You know, I remember the first time, I think I maybe mentioned this because I've said it a number of times. You go to Disneyland. And I know some people here from this church who went there because I saw it on Facebook. They're having a wonderful time. And I know what they were experiencing. But I remember as a kid watching this front of this little TV box that my dad had bought, you know, about this high. And we're just sitting there staring. And there was Disneyland, you know, Walt Disney and all the programs and the kingdom and little Tinkerbell are coming down the wire, which they still do. And then I went there. That's unbelievable. Like, this can't be it. I mean, I watched it on the box. It wasn't that big. It's miles and miles and miles. The parking lot is miles and miles and miles. And then comes the rides, and you're so excited about getting on that ride. And as you're coming up, there you can see the ride. And all of a sudden, you'd make a turn. And it goes on and on and on. And I think that's how our banks work now, too, because you get to go into the teller. Here we go again. And we go round and round and round. The world likes to do that. Just keep you going around. Yeah, I can see it, but yeah, you're not going to enjoy it right away. But God has a plan. And that through it, this world is a testing ground about where is your faith. A testing ground, do you really love Jesus? And Jesus is saying these are things that were a secret, but they're no longer because, see, the preaching of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the secret that was kept secret, a mystery that was kept secret from the foundation. Is that Jesus is no longer the secret, but his preaching is about what he's done. That he died on a cross. He took our sins. He went to the grave. He ascended from the grave. He went to heaven with a promise he's coming back. It's no longer a secret. When Jesus Christ came into this world in Luke chapter 2, we usually only read this on Christmas time, but it's a story of an event of a biblical account. It says that in verse chapter 2 of Luke, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It was to be revealed. It's supposed to be declared. I love what the shepherds do, who are Levite priests. They're taking care of the lambs that are going to go to the sacrifice at the temple. Is that they went in haste as soon as they heard it. And then they went out and they told others. They couldn't contain it. They couldn't keep it to themselves. That if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't keep it to yourselves. It's a cup that overflows. Yes, people don't want to hear it. Yes, people are probably going to insult you. Yes, people are going to say, oh, you're stupid. Yes, you're some holy roller. Yes, I've heard all that. But I realized that if it wasn't for Jesus taking a stand for me, I'd be just like them. And I was. I'm going to close here with Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. As we come back now to the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 2, grace, Ephesians 1, 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us. He's promised you an everlasting life. He's promised you a mansion. He's promised to make you kings and priests. He's promised and promised and promised. And there's over 8,800 promises in the Word of God. Could anybody name me 400 right off the top? There's just so many promises from a God. I want to know them. It's going to take time to study, to understand them, to apply them by the grace of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us. We should read that again and again and again. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Remember, that secret was before the foundation of the world. He's chosen us from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And you know, when you think more highly of others, you'll have a lot less blame. When you want to encourage other people, you'll have a lot less blame. See, because, look at those people. Why are they doing that? Why do they say that? Where do they go there? No. We encourage them. We build them up. And we're to be holy. Be ye perfect, meaning holy, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5:48, as your Father in heaven is holy or perfect. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good will, a good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. It's God's goodness. It's God's love. It's by his grace. He extends mercy. And that's how we should be too. Because of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. Here he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation, meaning of the administration of the grace of God, as he's been administering it day by day, year after year, which is given me to you word, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That which was from the beginning about a son, a man of the cross, in the beginning, is that in Revelation it says that, and that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That you would know that from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, that you would know the mystery. And what was that mystery? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. It's along with the Jews. And people say, well, God's done with the Jews. He has an everlasting covenant with them. If you get rid of the sun, moon, and the stars, I no longer have that covenant. Well, it's still light out. You know, the moon comes up. The sun, if we just go above the clouds, it's still there. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of power unto me who am less than the least of all saints. And if that's Paul, then what about me? What about you? If he's the least, and we see what great things God did, and yet we think of the sparrow, and God takes care of the sparrow, he'll take care of you. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. My Savior, the Lord Jesus, created this heaven and this earth. He created you and me. He's created everything in it from the smallest detail to its largest. And that he wanted you to know about a God who is powerful and sovereign and knowing and present, a God who cares about every minor aspect to its greatest and fulfillment. And it's to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. I said I was going to close with that, but I have two more verses. This is what happens when you study the Bible, is that Paul wants us to know these wonderful truths, as it says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy. That means there's no conflict, there's no problem, there's no, like, oh, I'm not sure about this. No, there's no controversy. Without controversy, is great is the mystery, that which was a secret, a mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. John 1:1, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Justified in the Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus went into the wilderness with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 3 had already come down upon him and rested upon him. He was justified. He was seen of angels. There was angels ministering him constantly. And I only can think, what were the angels thinking? That as they saw him being crucified, and at just at a moment's notice, they would have come and rescued him. They were waiting for the call. But he took a stand on that cross for you and me. If the angels would have come, you know what one angel did, 185,000 men in the days of Hezekiah. Can you imagine what multitudes and multitudes of angels could have done to this world? He preached unto the Gentiles, believed on into the world, received unto glory. And then lastly, with Revelation chapter 10, and beginning with verse 5, this mystery is going to come to an end. This secret that of the preaching of Jesus Christ is coming an end. And where will we spend that eternity? And he says in verse 5, Revelation 10:5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be no time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7 told us that God would not reveal his secret unless he do it with the prophets. There's coming an end of this wonderful thing that God has done. From creation to the beginning of a new heaven, a new earth, spending eternity with the one who loved us. What will that do with us as we know the secret? I want to know more about Jesus. I'm just going to read these words of the hymn, and then I'm going to have George come up and we're going to lead us in another hymn. It says, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, that from the beginning this was a plan about a son, a man, and a cross. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will, discern. It's only by the Spirit of God. It says, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord. I love when we can have communion to reflect of the bread and the cup, knowing that he died for you and me. Hearing his voice in every line, from Genesis to Revelation, and making each faithful saying mine from Genesis to Revelation. More about Jesus on his throne. It's a day that's coming soon. And if you don't believe it, I have a coin right here in my pocket. And they're selling this coin for $100. They're going to rebuild the temple. Do you realize that all the world leaders in Jerusalem, they're talking about, many of them talking about moving their embassies. They're talking about rebuilding the temple. On it is the temple on this coin. It says on the coin to fulfill 70 years. Do you realize that the 70 years, this is prophetic, this coin. It's Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 years are decreed unto thy people, Israel. In the 69th week, it says that the Messiah was cut off, leaving 1 week. And in the middle of the tribulation, a temple was going to go up. It's to fulfill the 70 years. He's coming soon. What will we do with Jesus? What will we do as we live our lives before him? Because I want to know more about him, because he's coming one day as Satan enters into this temple. The Lord Jesus is coming back with the saints. And it says more about Jesus on his throne. It says that in Luke chapter 1, 31 to 33. He's going to sit on his father's throne, David. Riches and glory, all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. Just more about Jesus. Every day. That should be our heart prayer. Lord, show me Jesus. That I may fall in love even one more time before that day comes. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your love. Thank you for this mystery, the secret that's been revealed. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that from the foundation of this world, from the beginning, as we read in Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, is that, Lord, you were wanting to know us to know your love, and that what a great God you are, and that you're worthy of all praise, worthy of all thanks, that whether it's in the giving of life or whether in the daily sustaining of life, that, Lord, that each day we would give you the glory, and that, Lord, that our hearts would be set aflame to want to praise you with everything that we have, and that there would be those that would see Jesus because of what you've done in us. And so, Lord, thank you for this secret. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for my Savior, the Lord Jesus. For there is none like my God. There is none like my Lord. There is none like my King. And there is none like my Savior. Lord, may you be blessed this day. And may we receive a blessing so that we might share it with other people. We give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.